obviously since the late 70s. And unfortunately, this gentleman's been kind of dragged into the religious aspects of it, where it has very little to do with religion, has more to do with the imperialist nature of the nations that have been dominating that region for over 100 years.
Okay, well, let's go back to London, looking at our guests in Orlando's comments that it has very little to do with religion. Sir, we have seen unbelievable amount of death and destruction in Syria, and now we're seeing some of those same groups carry out the similar attacks in Iraq, also now in Lebanon, where many, many innocent people have been killed. You have said that this is being done in the name of religion. How can that be justified? How can murdering innocent people be justified in religion, and especially in the religion of Islam that you supposedly say you're part of?
Yes, obviously, when you're fighting jihad, you do not target innocent people. And there's no doubt that Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi and Dawla Islamiyya are there to implement the Sharia, and they're trying to liberate Muslim land. And of course, they're trying to remove the Taghut, the regime of Bashar al-Assad. And of course, we are against all of the regimes, in fact, in Muslim countries. The Iranian regime, the Saudi regime, the Qatari regime, and of course, the Israeli regime. None of these regimes implement the Sharia.
Any government that you are against, then it gives you the right to go in, one, trying to overthrow that government, and two, kill innocent people that may be in your way.
Let's not conflate the two. The true Muslim Mujahid is against all of the regimes in the world today which are implementing non-Islamic law. In the Muslim world, they are rising against these regimes. The fact that there may be some common interest by some other, if you like, parties, does not mean that they are supporting them. There is no record of the British or the American or the Israeli supporting, for example, Dawla Islamiyya or even Jabhat al-Nusra or any of the true Mujahideen in the area.
The question that I asked you was that how can it be justified that innocent people are killed? You said that you can go against these governments.
Yes.
My question in that is, how do you justify killing innocent people in the name of Islam?
Well, you know, we cannot justify killing any innocent people. And I would say one thing to you. At the current time in the Iraq and the Sham region, there are thousands upon thousands of people who are fighting jihad from abroad. In particular, there are many very noble Chechen Mujahideen who are fighting against the Bashar al-Assad regime, who were fighting before against the Russians. They will not be defeated, inshallah. And these people do not travel thousands of miles to kill men, women, and children. This is a lie. This is a propaganda technique to tarnish the image of the Mujahideen.
Who are killing the men, women, and children? Of course, we have Syria. Now we have Iraq, and also we have Lebanon now. Who's doing this?
Yes. Well, what we can see, the evidence on the ground is that they are being killed by, for example, Hezbollah, by the Bashar al-Assad regime, by the Israelis, and the Muslims are being blamed.
Okay, you know, Mr. Ricard, let me get you in on this discussion.
Yes.
Very, very odd situation, very odd answers that, as if, for example, why would Bashar al-Assad, I don't understand, actually, and especially now when he has the upper hand militarily, go in and just slaughter his own people? Why would Hezbollah go in and slaughter those who support him? Why would the Iraqi government go in and do the same thing? Mr. Ricard, your take on our comments out of London, sir.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, this gentleman has been, brought up under some, information that he's shared with other people that has, kind of led him astray. You know, he's been misinformed with the information that he's been made available to him. Right now, you're looking at, a country of 20 million people, and you take the statistics into consideration, please. At 20 million people, well over 100,000 have been killed by both sides, obviously, and many sides that have gotten involved. Now, he mentioned Chechenian fighters. He mentioned all these fighters that are from around the world. These fighters have been funded and armed by the same individuals that basically are his enemies in what he's talking about, his jihad with the Mujahideen. And the fact is that, either he's a provocateur trying to help, with the jihad involuntarily or voluntarily, or he's either been fooled or he's a provocateur, because these guys are very ineffective. They're doing the work of the West at a very rapid pace. I mean, look what they did to Libya in such a short period of time, and then they moved on to they got out of hand and did their own thing in Mali and were taken out right away. They moved on into Syria and they're doing their thing in Syria. You know, these are mercenaries for hire. And these children don't know anything better. You know, that's all they've known since they were young. Their fathers were warriors. They're warriors. These aren't very intelligent people. I mean, even the United States, that's supposedly had freedom for the last 200 years. You know, most of the people here don't even know that the Earth revolves around the sun, 25% of the people in this country. So there's a lot of very uninformed and misinformed people out there. And this gentleman is heavily misinformed. The fact is that these people are being used and abused to fight an unnecessary war against a man that obviously was not the best leader in the country, but it could have been done in a much more sane way. That way that the war was started out of Daraa, it was actually instigated using telecommunications technologies, using firepower from the Golan Heights and from Jordan, and also basically duping the Arab Muslim world in order to think that they had another jihad.
Mr. Chaudhry, looking at some of the comments out of Orlando, what do you make of that when our guests say basically these people that you're calling jihadi fighters are mercenaries for hire? And of course, they're being funded by petrodollars and also definitely getting a lot of support and arms from Washington. So the same, as you say, none of the governments in the region are Islamic, and yet you accept their money, and you say that you're against Washington, yet you accept arms and support from them. Tell me about your jihad. What is your goal? Who do you deal with? Where is your red line of who you deal with, who you don't deal with, who you kill, and who you do not kill?
Well, I think that we have to look at the wider picture here, because if you look at the history of the whole of the region, including the Muslim world, we can see that now we're coming up to the 90th anniversary of the destruction of the Khilafah. The biggest nightmare for the British and the Americans, who were behind, in fact, the dismantling of the Khilafah with the French, is, in fact, the reestablishment of the Sharia as a way of life. Now, that is on the agenda of Dawla Islamiyah, is on our agenda. So what we can see, in fact, is that the regimes in the area, including the British and the Americans and the Israelis, want to prevent this by any means necessary. If you look at the Geneva 1 and the Geneva 2 talks, you can see that the only people who are not, in fact, invited to the table and who will not come anyway are, for example, Dawla Islamiyah, Jabhat al-Nusra, and those people who want the Khilafah system to be returned. So when your fellow in Orlando talks about, you know, interests, he needs to see the wider picture in the history. There's no Mujahideen being funded by the Americans or British. The Americans and British would do everything they can to ensure that the Sharia does not return, in fact, to the Muslim world, because they know that once it does return, all of these countries will be reunited. They will have a foreign policy of jihad fi sabilillah. Israel will be one of the first things that will be liberated. And then, of course, even Saudi Arabia and Iraq and all the other countries will be annexed. And therefore, their oil in the area, their strategic interests, their military interests, their economic interests will be affected. So what we can find, in fact, is that there's a much bigger picture here. Let's not look at the skirmishes and the war which is taking place at the current time only in Syria. Let's look at the history of the relationship between these countries in the international arena.
I wish we could right now, but
years.
We're just about out of time. Turning to Mr. Ricard, your take, sir, because it's interesting when he's talking about the implementation of Sharia, and what we have seen, implementation has been very bloodthirsty, very antiquated, very difficult scenes that we all have witnessed, from beheadings to whippings to unbelievable things. So who benefits, the bottom line, who benefits from all of this chaos that we're seeing in the region?
Well, obviously the West benefits. The West has benefited for quite a long time. The world's been dominated for over 500 years. By the British, the Americans, and the for the last 200 years, Americans and the French. You know, look what they did to the Spanish. And obviously, he's right. You know, the West did some terrible things to the Arab countries 1,500 years ago.
But and do you think, sir? I'm sorry, I don't have very much time, Mr. Ricard. But do you think Israel is also benefiting from this continued chaos?
Oh, absolutely. Israel is behind it. The Zionist movement has been a clearly objective at basically taking the Christian religion and duping the Christians into fighting a false war against a false Sharia law movement.
Okay.
This is a very small movement.
It's
not as big as this gentleman makes out.
All right. Hate to interrupt you, but I am out of time. Thank you both. My guests out of London, Mr. Anjem Chaudhary, and also out of Orlando, Mr. Scott Ricard, ex-American intelligence linguist. And thank you, viewers, for being with us. Make sure you join us same time, same place tomorrow. Marzieh Hashemi signing out from Tehran.